Hey everybody, I'm Scott, and this is Food for Thought for 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18. This is the closing of Peter's second letter in the last focal passage in this series. So as he wraps up, he actually begins this final paragraph with, "Therefore, waiting for these," and the "these" is actually referring to, I believe, the new heavens and the new earth from our previous focal passage, the earlier bit in 2 Peter 3. So as we're waiting for those things to show up, he goes on to tell you why, what because of that now is there. And so just so you know, that's kind of what he's referring to, looking at some context for this focal passage. That's some textual context for you. Always ask, what is the therefore? That's a very cliche, corny, but hey, very helpful thing to remember. Peter's audience here clearly has heard from Paul. They've received his letters in some way, shape, or form. Paul's words, according to Peter, were words to be heeded, and they're actually lumped in with, quote-unquote, the other scriptures. So there is inspired weight to the words that Paul writes and has been received by the churches that are going to be reading this letter from Peter, which is just kind of a cool thing to see here in this passage. Not much more context for that. So kind of moving into content. This passage, Peter calls us to be diligent, to be blameless, to be at peace with one another. Because, man, Jesus is coming back, and what will he see when he returns? We get to be diligent, blameless, and at peace with one another. Secondly, we get to count the patience of the Lord as salvation. Salvation is here. Obviously, we know that we get to be saved because of Jesus. And yet, at the same time, salvation is also coming. We're waiting for the day when God saves us from all of suffering and evil that is in the world when he returns. And in that meantime, it's not that God has given up. He's not given up. This is an opportunity for the Lord's patience for folks, like we talked about last time, for folks to repent. It's for us to know that, man, that salvation is here to be taken. We get to preach the gospel. We get to let people know about grace that is still afforded, still available to all people. And so, man, salvation is here, and we get to tell people all about it. So we get to count the Lord's patience as not him giving up or whatever, but instead we get to count it as salvation. Also, we get to grow in grace and in knowledge. There is hard stuff in the Bible, and Peter literally calls out Paul's stuff in particular. He says that, yeah, what Paul says is really hard to understand, and that false teachers, other people, they use that hard stuff that's tough to understand, they twist it, and they use it against the church. They use it for their own particular gain. And that is absolutely not okay. Those are unstable people, and he does not want us to be carried away and to lose our stability in the gospel. Instead, he wants us to grow in the glory of Jesus, to see the patience of God as salvation, and also to increase in our own being at peace with each other, our own godliness and holiness as God's people. So that's, in a nutshell, some of the content here in our focal passage. Some questions that you might ask. Just how comfortable would you be if Jesus showed up? If he found you right now, how excited would you be about that? How would he find you? How would you not want him to find you? Like, are there parts of your life that you would not want him to observe or see at some point? Those might be really hard questions for some people to answer and tough things, but I think those are very appropriate questions that should come up because of this passage. And I'm not set at any of these, but you guys know you can break up in men and women's time if you need to talk about some of those things. And you get to bring in everything that you've heard in previous focal passages as well. Just about, man, the fact that disciples forget that we've been cleansed from our former sin, we become unfruitful in our ministry, all that stuff, and yet we get to turn away from our vomit, turn away from the things that have enticed us in the past that are no longer our masters, and we get to remember the grace of the gospel come back and grow in fruitfulness, increase in the fruitfulness of our ministry. So you can ask people, man, how comfortable would you be with Jesus finding you right now? Are there hard things in the Bible that would trip you up? Or maybe somebody has used to kind of like twist you in some way in the past, but are there things in the scriptures that just give you a hard time that maybe you feel vulnerable to in some way that cause you maybe to lose stability in the gospel, that cause you to be insecure about some things? Do you feel stable in your faith, in your doctrine, in your understanding of the gospel? How do you deal with difficult passages in the scriptures, tough texts? What actually provides you stability there? And one thing I'll just offer to you guys listening to this is, I have met with a ton of people, particularly college students, but others as well, who they have these deep, tough questions, like existential questions that, you know, humans can't even fully answer in some way, shape, or form about the Lord or about why things are the way they are. And that can be really tough. You know, how do you marry sovereignty and human responsibility? How do you understand the presence of evil and suffering in the world when God is good and all of those things and sovereign? Like, how do you put all those things together? And there are some things to be said about all that. But at the end of the day, no answer that any of us can give is going to help more than asking the question and answering the question, is God good? Is he trustworthy? What has his ministry been to his people all along? What's his track record in that? If we get to go back to what God wants for me, even in this letter, we see that God desires repentance, that he's being patient with his people, that what he offers is salvation, that we get to have a standing before him that's not based on our own righteousness, but on Christ's righteousness, that he is going to come expose all the evil works and deeds and all that stuff of this earth, and he's going to replace it with a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So when those tough questions come up, we get to come back to ultimately the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that he saves sinners, that God was willing to sacrifice himself for us, that we might be brought into his family. And so we can trust that he is good and he uses his power for our help and our mercy and our grace. And so that is, of all things, the most stabilizing thing that you can come back to. It's not necessarily every answer, every satisfactory reply or response to every tough question, but we do get to go back to the fact, is God good? Is he for me? What is the good news of the gospel? We get to go there. Lastly, what does it look like for us to rest and rejoice in God's patience right now? That is salvation. What does it look like for us to give glory to him while we wait? Do we believe that he's kind of given up in some ways? Do we have that sort of demeanor about us at times? Or like, man, are we resting and rejoicing in the fact that God is patient with us and with the world? Does that bring us hope or does that bring us despair? Do we feel like God has given up or do we feel like he is at work and actually doing things, accomplishing things, bringing people to salvation? Are we giving him glory in this time while we wait, or are we despairing that he's not doing more? And so those are just a few questions to help you guys think through some of that stuff. Lastly, in terms of a vision of discipleship that's shaped by Christ, man, we get to be a people who are at peace, who are stable in Christ, who get to grow in knowledge, who will never know anything, who can acknowledge that there are hard and difficult texts that Paul is confusing. Sometimes there are hard things to understand, and there are things about life in the world that we don't get. And yet we get to be a people at peace, stable, and growing in knowledge and giving God glory all along the way. The gospel lets us grow, lets us ask questions, lets us learn without losing our stability because of the cross. And we get to grow to the ends of worship and of holiness. And that's freeing. That is a wildly freeing thing, that we can be human. We get to not be God, and yet we get to worship God, not knowing all the things, maybe in our heads thinking that things would play out differently if I were God, and also trusting that that's the best thing, that God is doing what he's up to because he's being patient, he is working out salvation, and that we get to play a part in that in some way. So I'm going to leave it there, guys. Hopefully this was helpful. Would love your feedback. You don't have to give me feedback if you don't want to, but on this particular format of Food for Thought stuff, I know it's different than the videos, but this is honestly easier for me to record in one big chunk and kind of walk through together doing it this way. The format, if you guys like this, great. If not, let me know. Just let me know what would be more helpful in the future. If you have anything at all to share, would love to hear it. Thanks, guys, for all you do, and I will see you next time.